Our call to worship today is in Hosea 14, verse 9. And we're going to be talking about what is a father, but we're talking more importantly, what is a godly father? What's a godly father? Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day that we have come to worship you. Thank you for the beautiful sunlight outside and the coolness of the morning. Lord, I pray that as we worship you, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here and that you will teach us, Lord, especially the men today, teach us to be godly men in our homes and in our church. We pray for these things in the power of Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. If you are a church leader here today, you've probably heard this text because these are the guidelines to be a church leader. And really, it's a guideline, in my opinion, a guideline for all men and certainly all Christian fathers. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so he will become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for these men here today and fathers. And Lord, I pray that as we work through this text and as we talk about being a godly man, Lord, I pray that you'll teach everyone here your principles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are a father, if you are a grandfather, if you are a wannabe father, this text and this message is for you. My dad was a great dad. He played softball with his kids. He built us a tree fort using bent, rusty old nails. And he was not a carpenter. He was big and strong. He mowed the lawn and he changed the oil in the car. And that's when I was in elementary school. And then I became a junior high student. And somehow my dad changed. He wasn't the loving guy that I remember. He worked all the time, and he didn't have time for us kids. He yelled at us. He made promises that he couldn't keep. He became angry and yelled at us kids to be quiet. He yelled at me when he was trying to teach me how to drive the car. And when he would hit the ball to me, it seemed like I could never do it right. But now, looking back, and all of your dads that have had junior high students in your life, you know exactly what I'm saying here. Kids, if you haven't said Happy Father's Day to your parents, and to your dad, do it. Because there will be a day when you can't. Looking back, I have the greatest dad. He played ball with me. He taught me how to drive. He encouraged me when the girl that I wanted to date wouldn't date me. He brought me to church and he taught me how to be a godly man. He would stand at the front of the door and he would tell everybody that came through the door how glad he was they were here. He had his devotions while he was at breakfast, and he would read God's word, and he would pray before he went to work. He was not perfect. He did have a temper, and he did work too long, too many hours. But then again, I'm not perfect either. And my kids know that I am not perfect. But guess what? God's not done with me yet. Amen?
Well, Dad, I'm just going to say it. I don't know why it's hard for me to talk real with you, but it is. And all we ever do is talk weather and sports and weather, and that's it. I don't know. What I really want to say is I'm thankful for how you loved me growing up, and you always made time for me, and I love you. Happy Father's Day.
That was really good.
You think?
Yeah, you need to tighten it up a little bit, but other than that, you're ready.
Okay, thanks, Uncle Ron. Here goes.
Good.
Dad.
Son.
Looks like the clouds are rolling in.
Yeah, hope they don't postpone the game tonight.
Listen, Dad, I wanted to say something to you.
Okay.
I just want to thank you for being, you know, a dad. Not just a dad, you know, being one that's mine, and not, well, of course not just mine, you're Jessica and Jordan's dad too, but it's cool.
Matthew.
Yes, sir.
I know.
Dad, I don't think you do know.
No, no, I know. I heard you talking to Uncle Ron. I was sitting just 4 feet from you.
Well, I meant it.
Thank you.
Tell your dad, Happy Father's Day. If you have your Bibles, let's work through 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're not going to be touching on all of the verses, actually only a couple. Verse 1 says, "It is a trustworthy statement if any man aspires to the office of overseer. It is a fine work that he desires." Our text encourages men to be Christian leaders, to be godly leaders. And to be a godly father. In America today, men are being shot down and made fun of. And I think it's high time that men stand up for what God intended us to be. And that's to be leaders in the home and in the church. When I brought Christy to Oak Hills Bible College for the first time to get a tour of the college that she chose to go to, I was really disappointed. I walked into a men's dorm as they were giving me a tour. The ladies had to stay outside. I walked into the men's dorm and the men were playing video games. And they didn't even say, "Well, hi, how are you?" They just kept right on playing. Lori and I, Wednesday morning, went to Shirley's and had breakfast as we do most Wednesday mornings. And there was a man that came in with his very young son, probably 6, 7, 8 years old. And he had his little, whatever you call it, he had his, I am not up on the technology. He had his tablet, he had his tablet, and the dad had his Kindle, and to read, they ordered their food. The food came, they ate their food, and not a word was said. Now, I don't remember my dad ever bringing me to a restaurant. But if he did, I was either in trouble and he wanted to talk to me, or he simply wanted to take me out and encourage me. It was a time for him to spend with just me. Men, do you want to be an overseer? Do you want to be a leader, a deacon, an elder, a trustee, a greeter, a Sunday school teacher? Timothy, and Paul says in Timothy, then you have chosen well. It is a fine work that you have chosen to do. The second verse gives us some of the qualifications to be a leader. And there are qualifications. And by the way, this is the only verse that we're going to spend a lot of time on. The rest of the text is there in verses 1 through 7. You can look at it at your leisure. But the second verse is, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. So if we start with the first one, above reproach. Men, are you men of integrity? Above reproach? Are you who you say you are in public? Are you the same kind of person in private? When you say you're going to do something, do you do it? And then do you do it when you say you're going to do it? This building project taught me some lessons. When someone says they're going to be here, you kind of wonder what Monday or what Tuesday they were going to show up. Be men above reproach, men of integrity. Luke 16:10 says, he who is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in very little, in a very little thing, is unrighteous also in much. We need to be men who are who we say we are. The husband of one wife. Now, this is pretty plain, but let me read between the lines for you just a little bit. I know in South Dakota here, it is illegal for us to have more than one wife. Is that a true statement? And I don't believe that's what this is saying. I'm pretty certain that this is not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, be the husband of one wife. And if there has to be a divorce along the line somewhere, then stay single. Be the husband of one wife. Let me read for you Matthew 19:3-9. The Pharisees have a tendency to test Jesus in just about everything, and they're testing him on divorce here. And it says, some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? And he answered and said, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. I just read this yesterday. And I'll be reading again on Friday. And the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, he said to them. Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And he said to them, listen to this very carefully, because of the hardness of the heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. The text in Timothy says, one wife. One wife, and this is also has everything to do with the way we think and the way we respond to women. Listen to Matthew 5, verses 27 through 28. Have you not heard what it said? You shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery for her in his heart. See, God judges the heart. He judges the heart. I want to speak to just the fathers and the wannabe fathers here. I heard a story some time ago about a young girl, a young teenager, who was changing the way she dressed simply because her dad was paying more attention to other women who were not dressed properly. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Pay attention to your daughters, men, and teach them how to dress. And then watch where your eyes are landing. Then he goes on and says, temperate. We must be temperate. Webster defines this as emotionally calm and controlled, avoiding behavior that goes beyond what is normal, healthy, and acceptable. I was a maintenance man at two different facilities. One was a facility for mentally retarded. I was there for 5 years. And then I was at a Bible camp in northern Minnesota. And we had hot water heaters. But we didn't want multiple hot water heaters, so we cranked up our temperature. But our tap water could only be, I think it was 120. So no one would scald themselves. So we had a temperating valve in there. So the hot water and the cold water came out, and it came out of that valve at 120 or 110. Temperating, even, calm. Ephesians 4, 26 to 31 says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Let all bitterness and wealth and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. We must be even. We must be temperate. Prudent. And I was going to look this up, and I forgot to do that, and I even thought of it this morning. I was going to look it up. What president said it wouldn't be prudent? Does anybody remember? It became a really, probably too many years ago. Wouldn't be prudent. What's prudent? Webster says it's having or showing carefully good judgment. Carefully good judgment. A.W. Tozer says this, among the gifts of the Spirit, scarcely one is greater, is of greater practical usefulness than the gift of discernment. This gift should be highly valued and frankly sought as being almost indispensable in these crucial times. This gift, listen to this, this gift will enable us to distinguish between chaff and wheat and to divide the manifestations of the flesh and the operations of the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22. You know what? I have a lot of verses today, and I almost couldn't get them on the notes. There are so many, and I hope that you can keep up and fill in the gaps. Thessalonians 5, 21 through 22. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to what is good, and abstain from every form of evil. The next word is respectable. All men want to be respected. And I don't know how many of you know the Ephesians chapter 5 or 6 text where it says, men, love your wives, but women, respect your husbands. Men want to be respected. And so it only makes sense that we are what? Respectable. We ought to be respectable. In Philippians 2, verse 3, it says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. We also ought to be hospitable. What's hospitable? Opening up our lives to other people and inviting them in. Mark 9, 41 says, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. We must be hospitable. And then able to teach. This was a hard one for me because there are very few men in the church that teach. So I would like to rephrase this, and I know the Bible says that we shouldn't change God's word, and I'm not really changing it, but can I just change it to willing to teach? Men, are we willing to teach Sunday school in church, teach children, teach adults? You know, the more time we spend in God's word, the more it's going to come out. Acts 17:11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I would encourage you men to be able to teach, be willing to teach. And I know some of you are very capable of teaching. That's the end of verse 2. There are five more verses to go, and we're not going to go there. But what I want to do is, one of my commentators is saying there's five basic things of a godly man. And I want to just go through those one at a time here. The first one is, we need to be humble before God. And the New Testament especially, Old Testament too, talks about being humble. We must be humble. Humble ourselves before Him. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. The second one, control of appetites. And I kind of alluded to that already with making sure that your eyes stay at home, men. Psalm 119, verse 10, how can a young man keep his way pure? How? By keeping it according to your word. And then protecting his family. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask? I really appreciate the songs we sang this morning, talking about our heavenly Father. There are some here that do not have a father, and there are some here who had abusive home situations. And if that's your case today, know that your Heavenly Father loves you and cares for you. He's our teacher. And men, if you felt like you've been a failure, and I have failed in so many times of being a dad. My biggest failure, I'm going to be honest with you, my biggest failure as being a dad is I was not a listener. When I was getting after one of my kids, I would sit them down and I would say, what were you doing or what were you thinking? And they would try to explain it and I would cut them off and I would explain to them what I thought they were doing. And I think most men have that problem. I needed to learn how to listen. We say we need to communicate. Well, I need to learn how to listen. The next one, we need to provide for our family. And this was also a hard one for me to even put on paper, because there are many times, the Great Depression was one, where men struggled with their inability to provide for their family, and that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about not being lazy, to be able to provide for your family. Listen to 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Men, be hard workers. Provide for your family. And then leading his family. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and that the man is the head of the woman, and that God is the head of Christ. We need to get back to the basics here in America. And you know me good enough to know that it really bothers me to just skip through these. I could have a sermon on each one of those. And I want to encourage you. There's one more thing I want to share with you. The most important thing. And I've contemplated here, all commanders should know this. 1 John 3:16. And you're going to say, oh, I probably know John 3:16, but what's 1 John 3:16? Oh, you should know this. What's 1 John 3:16? This is how we know what love is, that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we need to do the same for our brothers and sisters. And might I say, men, that we need to do this for our families, lay down our lives, just like Jesus laid down his life for us. And then verse 17 and 18, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother and in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed and truth. We need to love our families. More importantly, above everything else, we need to love our families. Amen. You remember Joshua in the Old Testament? They had just conquered the promised land. And God gave them a promise that if you abide by my laws, then I will bless you and honor you as a nation. And he says at the very end of his life in Joshua 24, 14 through 18, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which are beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.